Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Over the past three decades, there has been a startling increase in obesity across the U.S., according to a study in the journal Lancet. Reporter Brad Gibson.
The study predicts 80% of American adults will be overweight or obese by 2050. That's 4 in 5 adults. That will increase pressure on the nation's healthcare system, as well as significant costs.
President-elect Donald Trump names vaccine skeptic Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as his pick for Health and Human Services Secretary. This as questions swirl over Trump's selection of former Congressman Matt Gaetz to be Attorney General. And there are demands to see the House ethics report on Gaetz. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Let's see if somebody goes counter to their party on this particular choice.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says it's too early to make judgments about policies of the incoming Trump administration. He tells an audience in Dallas.
I think we'll be careful about changing policy until we have a lot more certainty.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Earlier this week, Washington Elementary School in Wisconsin Rapids went into a code red and code yellow lockdown. The Wisconsin Rapids Police Department responded to investigate a threatening phone call reported by school staff members on Tuesday. During the investigation, WRPD were able to identify and locate the phone used to make the threat, as well as the person who made the call. They arrested Wisconsin Rapids resident Gracia M. Aguirre. Aguirre is being held at the Wood County Jail and being referred to the Wood County DA's office on charges of felony swatting and terrorist threats. There is no further threat at the school or to the community. After 50 years, a Wisconsin cold case finally has an answer, after decades of twists and turns. Here's Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Don't you just love these stories where justice finally comes? A man is being charged with the murder of a woman here in Wisconsin after years of suspecting a serial killer and former Green Bay Packer. In February 1974, Mary Schley was found dead in Dunn County. Authorities believe she was hitchhiking from Minneapolis to Chicago for an art show, and they thought she had been killed by Randy Woodfield, who later went on to murder women along the interstate in California and Oregon. He was once a draft pick for the Packers. Now he's in prison for life. This case matched his M.O., but at the time there was a hat on the scene and it had hair inside, and the Dunn County Sheriff's Office recently decided to ask for help to do genetic genealogy to see if there was any usable DNA in there. There was, and it wasn't Randy Woodfield's. It matched a now 84-year-old man from Minnesota named John Miller. He confessed to killing Schley because she fought back when he tried to assault her. He'll be extradited to Wisconsin, facing a charge of first-degree murder.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks win a thriller. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down by 18, but came roaring back to force overtime on the way to a 127-120 win over the Pistons last night in Milwaukee. The Bucks were shorthanded. Doc Rivers.
No Dame, no Chris Middleton, no Bobby Portis. So we're down to one living point guard on our team.
Giannis finished the night with 59 points and talked about what he told the younger players filling in.
You know, don't take these moments for granted. It's easy for me to kind of fold and say, guys are out. But no. We at the end of the day, you are here to do a job, which is compete.
NFL, the Packers face the Bears in Chicago Sunday. I asked Lucas Van Ness, who's going to replace Preston Smith on defense after he was traded to the Steelers.
Regardless who's here, it's always been a next up mentality. Whether it's myself, Mosby, Cox, JJ, we're all ready just to kind of fill in and help where we can. And that still stays the same.
That's Packers defensive end Lucas Van Ness with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy this evening, some breaks in the clouds overnight, a low in the upper 30s. For tomorrow, partly cloudy, a high in the low 50s. Clouds return for Saturday, a chance of rain Saturday night, then sunshine's back as we look into Sunday. It's 46 right now.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a little more recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. We'll wrap up the show with a Friday This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Conrad, am I wrong, or are we covering a ridiculous amount of topics that entertain people tonight?
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking about ice cream again.
Yeah, well, see, that's what we do. You're in flavor country when you're supposed to be paying attention to the show. That's okay. That's a good excuse. Mike Clemens, then we talked a little popcorn pick of the week with Cedar Crest's Shannon Simon. Delicious ice cream. Nathan Deming, filmmaker Nathan Deming, coming up at 7:35 to talk about his film February. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, we turn our attention to another guest that the Wisconsin Historical Society sent us. This is her first time on the show. She is the Regional Southwest Sites Director for the Historical Society here in Wisconsin. It is my pleasure to welcome Susan Kaya Slusser to the show. Hi, Susan.
Good evening. How are you?
How did I do on the last name?
You nailed it.
So I nailed it?
Oh, you wow. did.
I was just hoping for every once in a while you just get a name. And I've had to say your name 40 times tonight just to so I wouldn't, you know, because I don't know. I play this game with myself when I have names like that where it's not even that tough. But I had Kaya, no. Then I had Kaya in my head. Then you corrected me and said it was Kaya. Then my mind plays tricks on me. I'm a mess.
No, that's okay. I'll often spell it to people and they'll still say Kaya. So I'll say it, I'll spell it, and it comes out a different way. But you did a great job. Thank you.
All right. May I call you Susan?
You may.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much for being here tonight. How are you doing tonight? How's it going?
Good. I'm doing well. I was at Villa Louis today. I think that's the site we're talking about tonight. And yeah. We started decorating for Christmas. So it's been a busy day.
Nice.
But it's nice. The weather has, you know, it's held off, no snow yet, but hopefully we will have a white Christmas.
We'll see. If it's not a white Christmas, I hope it nudges its way into the 70s and we have a little sunshine. That wouldn't be terrible either. But for your purposes, I'm sure you want a white Christmas. I'm glad you said the name of Villa Louis, too, because that was my next question. I didn't want to sound stupid and say Villa Louis, you know, so Villa Louis. We're saying that's how we say it.
That's how we say it. But if you're from Prairie du Chien, most people will say it's the Villa Louis on Villa Louis Road. And I'm not quite sure why that is a thing in Prairie du Chien for the locals, but it is.
That's great. So this is a National Historic Landmark. Tell us a little bit about the Villa Louis home.
Sure. So Villa Louis, it's a multi-layered site. We have quite a complex history. But when you come for a general tour, you are coming to hear about the Dousman family. And if any of your listeners are from Green Bay, from Milwaukee, there's a lot of Dousman streets. Yeah. There's Dousman, Wisconsin. And this is named after this family. They played a huge role in the formation of the state of Wisconsin. They were here before Wisconsin was a territory. And so they made a lasting impact. But kind of behind the scene players, the Dousman family were investors, land speculators, invested in the railroad, steamboat, ships on the Great Lakes, steam shipping on the Mississippi River. And so you see a lot of Dousman names. And of course, there's a great tie with Green Bay, Wisconsin, as Elizabeth Baird was the half-sister of Jane Fisher Rolette Dousman. So we have some great connections with Green Bay and Milwaukee. So we can talk about that another night.
No, that's fascinating. Is it too late for these Dousman characters to get the train to go to Green Bay from Milwaukee or Chicago? Would that be too much to ask? Are they still players?
Well, it's interesting. There still are a lot of Dousman descendants in Wisconsin. There's still a lot of Dousmans that live in the Milwaukee area. And directly related to this family who we talk about in Prairie du Chien, there are a lot of descendants in the Chicago area, and they came back up for a visit in 2014.
Oh, really? So do they go to the home then that their ancestors inhabited, or how does that work? Or is it more of a general visit?
No, well, this one was an interesting visit. So the family burial plot is just north of town. So the Ville Louis estate, as we know it today, is located on St. Farriel Island in Prairie du Chien, right along the Mississippi River. And where the family burial plot is, it's about a mile and a half from the site in the Catholic cemetery just north of town. And it's the only private plot in the cemetery. And a descendant passed away. He was living in Florida. He passed away. And the family contacted me. They wanted to have his cremains interred into the family burial plot. And so I worked with the local funeral home, the Garrity Funeral Home, and I worked with the Catholic Church, and we made this happen. They had a private little ceremony out there. But then the family that came up, it was three generations, came on tour, and we had a private tour. And it's amazing because we're talking about Louis Nina Dousman, Louis who builds this house. We're talking about his grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and great-great-great-grandchildren that came for a visit. And what's interesting, when we took them into the parlor, gave them a little bit of behind-the-scenes tour, there's a marble statue of two of the daughters of Louis and Nina Dousman. And the great-granddaughter, who's about my age, looks, and she's like, look, we have the same cheeks. And they do. There is still a striking family resemblance passed down with these big, nice, beautiful cheeks that some of the daughters have. So it was great for them to show their children. It was the first time for the great-great-grandchildren to be in the home. And they occasionally come back, not often, which is kind of unique because they talk about it. A descendant follows us on Facebook and comments all the time. So we have these great family connections.
That's so fascinating to me because it's interesting enough when you have ancestors, when you learn about them or see where they lived, who aren't famous or weren't movers and shakers in the 1800s or whatever. I can't imagine what it's like for these descendants who are great-great-grandchildren. Do you talk to them about the connection they feel? Do they feel a connection to, like, when they see Ville Louis or the grave sites or whatever? What is it like for them?
I think the grandson, Richard, I think he and his wife, Michelle, they have fond memories because there was a strong connection. Barbara Dousman, another descendant, because Hercules Dousman, who's the family patriarch that brings the Dousmans to Prairie du Chien, he is one of eight. So there's all these extended cousins. And throughout the years, there were these huge Dousman family reunions held on the property. We had a big one in 2004, and then we had a smaller one in 2008. But it's been since 2008. Unfortunately, Barbara has since passed away, and she was kind of the family genealogist. But her son, Donald, who's still in Texas, still is a member of the Friends of Ville Louis, kind of our volunteer support group. And so there's fond memories and stories that have been passed on down. And, you know, they come back and they tell stories. You know, we continue to research on the family, and they continue to tell like some of the ghost stories and some of the legends, you know, like have stories and legends of our families that we pass on down. So when they come through and they, you know, tell some of those, you know, we don't, you know, completely gently correct them a little bit. We let them have their stories and let them have their fond memories because that's, you know, the connection that they have and those fond memories that they have with this beautiful home on this piece of property.
My guest is Susan Kaya Schlosser, who is a Schlosser.
Sluicer.
I got it. I caught myself, Susan.
You did.
Just said my guest is Susan, but I don't like to take the easy way out. I go the extra mile, and I knew Conrad would correct me anyway. She is the Southwest Sites Regional Director for the Wisconsin Historical Society. So tell us a little bit about the actual home, Ville Louis. What are we looking at there? Do you do tours, and what can people expect if they were to take a tour of this, what I assume is a very grand home?
Sure. So this home was constructed. It was finished in January of 1871. It was designed by the Milwaukee architect E. Townsend Mix. Still some great buildings that survive in Milwaukee. Louis Delsman contracted with Mix because Mix had just built his uncle's home in Milwaukee. And we believe that's how connection was made. The home is faced with that traditional Milwaukee cream city brick that was shipped over from Milwaukee. It's a lovely three-story home. There's a very large third floor that the family used for storage. But we do talk about one of two balls that we know that they had up there during the Christmas of 1893. And what's unique and amazing about the home itself is that this family saved. They saved items. They saved receipts and bills. It's not just the objects they saved, but they did. But for some reason, the family always had an estate manager that was helping the family with their investments, with their properties, because they didn't just have the property on the island. They had land in downtown Prairie du Chien, and they had two large farms north of Prairie du Chien. And so this estate manager would help the family maintain the properties, maintain a servant staff, maintain a labor staff. And you know, they were hiring laborers for, you know, inside work, outside work, but also seasonal work, chopping wood, threshing, doing all the things that these farms would need. And so there was all this correspondence back and forth between the family and their estate managers, or between the butler or the housekeeper and their estate managers. And, you know, back then there was morning mail, there was PM mail. Yeah. So there'd be multiple letters just on one topic. Now, we don't have a lot of family correspondence. We believe maybe the manuscript collection was edited at some point. Not a lot of letters back and forth between family members. There's no diaries that exist, no journals, which was a very Victorian thing to do. But all of these letters that really detail life back and forth and the shopping. So we know for the Christmas of 1893, which is what we celebrate during our Christmas event, we have receipts and bills. We know that they bought a pair of ice skates for 50 cents on December 18th. Down to, we know what they were buying for food leading up to, you know, both Christmas, but then leading up to a ball that was held on December 30th of 1893 as well. But so we have the receipts, we have the bills, we have photographs, but we also have the collection. When we bring guests on tour, it's a guided tour because of this massive and amazing collection. We tell our guests about 90% is original to the home. Now, or I should say to the family, because you're seeing furniture that was bought specifically for the first home, because that first home sat right in the same location, built by Louis's father, Hercules. That was torn down. This new home was finished in 1871. So we have this beautiful 1850s, 1860s furniture. We have 1870s furniture that was in their home that they at one point had in St. Louis. Then they had an apartment in New York at one point. So there's some furnishing that was bought from New York. And so we see these this furniture coming together. The family lives in the home until 1913, when the remaining children of the third generation decide, you know, they're moving off, they're married, they're moving to different parts of the country. They did a complete inventory of every space. They then do a division list. And it's kind of fun because I have a lot of siblings. So there's these four remaining siblings and we have this inventory list with the four names and you can see where they're crossing off and like switching, like someone's going to take some china. Nope, it's crossed off. Next you see it under the other siblings list. And so we have this guiding document. So as family members pass away, items would be donated back into our collection, or we would go to estate sales using those photographs, using those lists, and we would buy items back to put back into the collection. So we've really amassed a very unique historic house museum. It's not period pieces. It's the original pieces.
That is so cool. We have to do a really quick break, and then we'll come back, and I have some more questions for you. My first one will be, did Hercules tear down the house with his bare hands? I want to know that. all right. Susan Kaya Slusser is here tonight from the Wisconsin Historical Society. We have more with her coming up next. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. He's the greatest, that's all.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
On Blueberry Hill. It's not too late to get in on our question of the night, which is, what are you looking more forward to seeing, Wicked or Gladiator 2, on the big Barbenheimer 2.0 weekend that starts next weekend? They're calling it Glicked. Two huge films coming out. Conrad and I are both looking more forward to Wicked because we kind of think we've already seen Gladiator, even though it should be cool as well. My guest is Susan Kaya-Slusser. Susan, are you a movie fan?
I am a movie fan.
Are you going to see Wicked?
Yes. My children have already asked to see Wicked and also Moana too. So.
Oh, you got, okay. Your dance card's full. That's great. All right, so tell us about the event coming up through the holidays. This is exciting. Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays from December 6th through the 15th. Is it just two weekends?
Yeah.
Okay, what's happening at Villa Louie at the home?
Sure, there's two different events taking place. The main event for the general admission audience is we're starting to deck out the house for Christmas of 1893. It's the most documented time period of the family in town for Christmas. And so the house will be decorated. We have the family's restored Centennial D Steinway piano. We'll have a pianist at the piano. We'll have historic cooks making a variety of historic treats for the guests to try. Wow. And staff stationed throughout to let you stroll and see what it was like to have a Victorian traditional Christmas. And then the other event that's taking place, those same weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you have six different opportunities to have a high tea with us. Not in the home. We have a beautiful, another National Historic Landmark building is our Brisbois Fur Warehouse. And we transform it into a beautiful setting. And cooks in costume and a butler will escort you to the tea. You'll get to sit, have the tea, have a little program, and then you'll also be able to get a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look and then also get to take a part of the house and the Christmas decorations and all that, you know, surrounds the Christmas event at Villa Louie.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I bet you guys get so excited, too, when you get to do that. It's like putting on a show, right? I mean, it's not unlike theater to a degree.
It really is. We really transform the home and, you know, we have a lot of fun, especially working with the recipes and working with the wood stoves that we have. So everything that is served will be, except for a few small little additions, and we're cooking on the wood stoves that we have at the estate.
You guys seem to do a lot of, in the guests I've had on from the Wisconsin Historical Society, a lot of your events or grounds involve Victorian homes. Is that just because they're a prominent home that was built in our history here in Wisconsin? Does it lend itself to Christmas? Like in this case, what is it about the Victorian home that is so fascinating?
I think especially for Christmas time with the Victorian home is, you know, we're starting to see greenery brought in. And we see like the greenery of the Dousons, we see what they're purchasing, and it's being shipped over by train from Milwaukee for this specific Christmas event. And we see a lot of fresh fruit coming over. They must have been serving some sort of fruit because of all of the gallons of lemonade and all the lemons that they were purchasing. But we're also seeing at this time point, you know, the like during the Victorian times, like manufactured goods are more readily available. And we see, you know, the Dousons, and I can, you know, read you some receipts. They are buying a pair of skates. They're buying ornaments, suspenders, fascinators, you know, the hats that you see at the Derby.
Yeah.
And the one big item, if I can find it quickly, one of the daughters receives, and I'm not sure if I'm going to locate it, a Colombian bicycle. And it's one of the, it's, and I can't tell you, I'm not a bicycle expert. And my, one of my colleagues, Nick Hoffman's going to chide me for this one. But a Colombian bicycle, 1893, I believe they spent $100 on it. Like this was a new,
That's something a lot
that changes with bicycles, that this is a really big deal for the daughter Nina Dousons to receive. Now we don't still have that bicycle in the collection, but we still do have, we have some original toys, including one, a tin kitchen. And we have a lot of, when you come on tour, every single book that you see, and we have lots of books with inscriptions that were given as gifts at Christmas time. So some elaborate gifts, but a lot of homemade gifts and a lot of gifts of affection, rings, handkerchiefs, perfume. So while this family could afford a lot, they, you know, that bike and like a magic lantern where you had a little flame that would, you can move slides and you're basically like a film strip in your own bedroom. Those are the most elaborate gifts, but, and that's a rarity for what we see them purchasing at Christmas time.
That's so cool. To me, that's the relics. It's those personal things that I can just lose myself in when I go to a museum or a place like Villa Louis, you know, it's just the personal connection, knowing that this receipt was handled by this person or was they purchased this bike, whatever. And you guys have so much of that. Where can people find out more information about these tours and these events through the holidays at Villa Louis?
Sure. Well, we have a very active Facebook page, which is just Villa Louis Historic Site on Facebook. The Wisconsin Historical Society also has a Facebook page and Instagram. And then, of course, our website, which is just villalouis.org.
Very good. This is really exciting. Do you have a we talk about movies and TV a lot on this show, Susan. Can you recommend a binge-watchable show that you might be watching at this point when you're done planning these great events?
Well, one of the things I love to do at this time of year for Christmas, my favorite Christmas movie is actually Meet Me in St. Louis.
Oh,
I mean, I know how perfect is that for the job that I have. But and The Grinch, with three young kids, The Grinch is our favorite, and we've already watched it like three times.
Let me ask you this. We've got about a minute left. If you, obviously you're a history buff, if you could go back in time to one of the Wisconsin Historical Society homes in the time that they are sort of showcased, what would it be?
I would love to have seen what was happening up at Madeline Island. Like in the 1840s, actually. And so I love the Victorian time period, but I really love Wisconsin's early history, which we also touch on at Villa Louis with our early tribal nations. I think there's some really great stories that we're still working on to tell with the Wisconsin Historical Society. And we've got some new stuff coming out next year for Villa Louis that gets us back in earlier time. So there's some great history that we're still working on to tell. It's important and we need to do more of it.
Absolutely it is. And please come back again and tell us about all your new developments. That sounds really fun and best of luck with the tours and with all the events happening at Villa Louis.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks, Susan. All right. That's Susan Caius-Lucer from the Wisconsin Historical Society. They do great work. Check it out. And all right, when we come back, we're going to move on to yet another topic here on Nightlight. How are we doing this, Conrad? Is this like groundbreaking radio?
Ice cream?
Sure, we'll go with that. We will have filmmaker Nathan Deming coming up next. We'll read some of your text. He's going to tell us about his film February, which is playing this weekend at the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards. And Nathan is a native Wisconsinite and a really good dude. You're not going to want to miss this after... Right after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed, this is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Put the radio down, curl it down here. We're gonna change what the heck happened.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin lawmakers are laying out their priorities for the next session. Here's Derek Tritz.
This legislature will have a new balance. Democrats picked up 10 seats in the Assembly and 4 in the Senate. Assembly Republicans are mainly focused on inflation, citing that just about everything costs more. To address this, they are hoping to return Wisconsin's more than $4 billion budget surplus back to taxpayers through methods like making retirement income tax-exempt, according to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who was just re-elected to his post. The party also wants to send abortion access limitations to Wisconsin voters via referendum. On the other side of the aisle, Senate Democrats are looking at a pathway to Senate majority in 2026. Governor Evers secured fair legislative maps back in February, and experts say they leveled the playing field. Senate Democrats are pushing for more education funding after State Superintendent Jill Underlie announced wanting billions for Wisconsin students, especially after some years of having no increases. They're also focused on Medicaid expansion. The new legislature will be sworn in on January 6th.
Make sure you take a look up at the night sky this weekend. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us what's so special.
It's the last of four supermoons of the year on Friday, where the full moon will appear 30% brighter and look nearly 15% bigger as it moves closer than normal to Earth's orbit. If you miss it, you'll have to wait a while to see it look like that again, until October 7th of next year. That's when we'll get three supermoons in a row. It'll move close and look big again on November 5th and also December 4th. This one on Friday is also known as the Beaver Moon, because it's when beavers are most active, prepping for winter, building dams, and gathering food. And next month's full moon is called the Cold Moon.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There's not much left for Denzel Washington to achieve when it comes to his career. That is probably why he's mentioned retiring soon. The actor says he will star in the third Black Panther film. After that, he says he will do Othello and then King Lear and then hang it up. There is a lot of potential there to exit the business with a third Oscar for acting. Washington won Best Actor for Training Day and a Best Supporting Actor statue for Glory. Seems like he's really getting the hang of this acting thing. Fasten your seatbelts. There is a new Sexiest Man Alive for 2024, and his name is John Krasinski. The always humble Jim from The Office and star of A Quiet Place says when he got the news, he thought he was being punked. His wife, Emily Blunt, said if he won, she would wallpaper the house with magazine covers. Sounds like they have a busy weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy this evening, some breaks in the clouds overnight, a low in the upper 30s. For tomorrow, partly cloudy, a high in the low 50s. Clouds return for Saturday, a chance of rain Saturday night, then sunshine's back as we look into Sunday. It's 46 right now.
To everyone who is a cheese lover like us, Culver's is the place for you.
I'm Culver's team member Sephora, and I get to celebrate my love of cheese with our guests every day. Whether it's our world-class cheddar, Swiss, or American melted on a butter burger, or the gooey golden goodness of our cheese curds, at Culver's, we treat you to the best real Wisconsin cheese. Order ahead on the app or culvers.com for a taste of what we do best.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South. In Wisconsin Rapids.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers take on Big Ten newcomer Oregon. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Former Wisconsin Badger and NFL player Brady Ewing joins us to preview the big matchup at Camp Randall. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. 10. We'll be right back.
Tomorrow night is a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here with new music and sparkling conversation like she is every Friday night. Can't wait for that. But also, we have the legendary, the one and only Frank Hermans will be here in studio tomorrow night at 6:35. So very excited. Frank just posted a picture on Facebook. He's like on a camel. I don't know. It's obviously photoshopped, or he has really strange legs, which I've never noticed before. I always thought Frank had fine legs.
So actually, he was in the Mino and the Mayor show this morning.
Okay,
and he actually rode in on a camel. So
stop it.
It's real. Yeah.
Like, I know you're joking, but part of me wants to think Frank would do something like that. Yeah. That'll be fun. Always fun to have Frank on the show. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. This is just a funny picture. All right, we're going to move on, and we're going to talk some independent film right now with one of my favorite independent filmmakers and a good friend of mine. He is a native Wisconsinite who makes his home in Los Angeles currently. I believe he hails from the Eau Claire area. But he is a Wisconsin boy through and through. I don't know that, Conrad. He might hate Wisconsin. He's from here. I just ask him.
How could you hate Wisconsin?
I don't know. I think that should be our first question. I want to ask Nathan about his movie and also why he hates Wisconsin. But let's do that right now and let's bring him in. This is Nathan Demming, the writer-director behind the film February, which you can catch this weekend at the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards. Nathan, why do you hate Wisconsin?
I don't. You're putting words in my mouth. Hey, you can see I made it out of the ice fishing tent.
Okay, so I got to give some background. When I host a show on PBS Wisconsin, and every year we do a film festival episode, and we preview films of the Wisconsin Film Festival. And Nathan's film, February, which is playing this weekend at the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards, was also at the Wisconsin Film Festival last spring. And when I had him on Director's Cut, you know, this is the advantage of interviewing a filmmaker. You look like you were really in either an igloo or an ice shanty or something, and you had a coat on and a hat, and you had a fishing pole over the stream. Tell us what that was about.
Well, the film takes place. The film is all about ice fishing, so I thought it'd be fun to Skype you. I would say Skype. Do you do that with words?
Yes.
That's the one burned in my brain.
I'll make a Xerox, and we can.
Yeah, I thought it'd be fun to chat with you from Lake Altoona, and that's what I did until you informed me that there was no ice currently in Wisconsin at the time.
It's a rough winter for the ice fishermen. No, but you were actually in your apartment in L.A., and you had a tent set up in your living room, I'm guessing?
Yeah, it was like 90 degrees, and I was wearing like a big jacket, and I think if you remember, it was like kind of a slow show, so I sat there for like an hour questioning my entire life. Why did I do this?
I hope it put a few more butts in the seats at the very least.
Yeah.
I appreciated your commitment to your film and giving a little variety to the show, so that was fun. But you're in another film festival this weekend, buddy, the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards. Are you coming in for that?
I'm coming in for that. They're doing a Q&A. It sounds like it's going to be a fun, yeah, like a lot of people from around Wisconsin. So excited to bring the film to Milwaukee. And the film is about, well, you know what it's about, but it's part of my year project, my big grand scheme to make a film for every month of the year. So this is February, which is number two for people keeping track.
So how is March coming along?
March, I have March written. I have up to June ready, locked in the barrel. But
look at you.
I'm working on a feature right now, so getting that prepped, and then I'll return to my to my month
to your months. So you're coming in. That's exciting. Can you tell people who might be listening who aren't filmmakers, talk about the film festival experience for an indie filmmaker? Why is it so great for someone like you or someone who makes an independent film?
Well. Yeah, the independent film right now, I mean, obviously it's a pretty rough time for the industry in general. And a lot of people like me, I mean, you do it because you love it. And it's so hard. There's so many, the best place to feel like a filmmaker is at a film festival, bringing your film out for the first time. Wisconsin Film Festival is great. I love that they promote local filmmakers so much. And there's nothing like seeing your film with a crowd. So I'm really excited for Milwaukee this Saturday at 1 p.m. for my film. But the whole event, I think, runs from 10 to 4 or 5 in the afternoon. So
yeah, we had Ezekiel Drews on last night who talked about the venues. It sounds like a great, it's the inaugural event for the whole deal, the entire film festival. Yes. So that's exciting. Yeah. And then you're doing a Q&A. Where is your film playing? What venue are you at?
We're at UW-Milwaukee, the Union Cinema.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's your that's your hood, Conrad. You were talking about that last night.
Yeah.
He went to UWM. That's his favorite theater. Yeah. Good sound?
Good sound.
Okay. So that's exciting, Nathan. So, all right. So tell us, you made a feature film several years ago that I'm in, and that's a disclaimer. I play, what's my name again? Dan?
Dan Fogelman.
Dan Fogelman. Yeah, that was a fun part to play. Yeah, it was a mega church pastor. That was like a dream role for me. And it was fun. It was really fun to work with you and watch you direct. I was more blown away that you were able to make a feature film on such a small budget and do it and just see your vision through. It's so hard to make a feature film, even with a big budget, but to watch you pull that off with what you did. And now it's, people can watch it, right? Is it out there on different platforms?
Yeah. It's out. It's on Amazon. It's on Tubi. It's on Vudu.
Yeah.
It's out there. Yeah. Speaking in Tongues.
Speaking in Tongues. Yeah. Check it out. It's a great film. And Nathan, is that the only feature film you've done so far?
That's the only feature film so far. Yeah.
Okay. If you could, what would you rather do? Like, if money were no object, would you rather make short films or feature films?
Feature films.
Okay.
Feature films. Well, February, as you remember, is also kind of in an in-between space anyways. It's about 48 minutes long, so kind of like a novella film. Long short, yeah.
So, all right, you're working on March, which is next, the next installment in the months. And what sort of propelled you to make a movie set in every month? And they're all in Wisconsin, correct?
Yeah, they're all in Wisconsin. Well, it sort of started because I was having such trouble getting another feature going because of some darn pandemic that started sometime after I finished my feature. And I just had a larger project fall through, and I had all these stories. I have a lot of stories I would like to tell about Wisconsin, and I hate these like film rules, the demands of a film, like a what's that word? Plot. Yeah. I don't love plot. No, I like plots. Everybody's got a plot, but I like tying in bigger conceptual themes and playing with time and how our environment affects us, because every month of the year really affects us, you know? And February to me is about the doldrums. It's about, it kind of like feels like the furthest point between fall and summer. Like
it's the worst.
Totally forgotten about the holidays. And you're just waiting for everything to thaw, which is where we catch up with our character, who's a very new immigrant to Wisconsin and never been in winter before and just hating it. He's just struggling to fit in. Until he stumbles on ice fishing and it kind of helps him warm up.
I love that story. Yeah, I agree. February is like the Tuesday of months. It's just awful. So you went to film school. Do you recommend film school to aspiring directors? Or if you, I've heard other people who got money from their parents and they said, go make a movie. That's your film school. Those are the urban legends. And then others that actually go to film school. Is there a difference? Like if you just make a film, is that education enough? Or do you really need the benefits of film school, in your opinion?
That's a good question. Also, I'm realizing that I put my display name as Nate, N8, and now it's live.
I thought you were like doing a rap album or something. I didn't know.
That's a good question. So I went to film school in London because of a filmmaker named Mike Lee, who's also a huge inspiration for, I guess, every one of my films. I love him so much. If you guys don't know him, check him out. Secrets and Lies, Vera Drake. One of the best British filmmakers there is. And I've asked that question to myself a lot because film school is very expensive. And then once you... I mean, I couldn't stay in the UK because of like work visa stuff. So I went to LA basically in the same bucket as a million people also who hadn't gone to film school. It's probably just everybody for their own journey, right? Like,
yeah,
there was a million things I was super grateful to experience and learn in an environment like that, that I probably would not have pieced together on my own. So yeah, for me, it was good. Maybe for somebody else, it's not so good.
I honestly, I don't see how you could go wrong with that going to film school. I mean, you can still make a film too when you're done, but to me, there's just way too many benefits based on people I've talked to. My guest is Nathan Deming. He's a Wisconsin native and a writer director living in Los Angeles. Currently, he will be in Milwaukee this weekend to screen his film February. A short film, which you said is like a hybrid. It's 40-some minutes long, but very, very interesting film. Pardon me.
Bless.
I think I'm allergic to something. Conrad, is that coat mohair?
What?
You're wearing that huge coat. I think I might be allergic to it. I had to blame it on something. So you were raised in Eau Claire, right, Nathan, or in the area? Toma, that's right. Okay, so how did that, like, I had a kind of a split experience. I was in a very big city for the first part of my childhood, and then I moved to a small town of Marinette. And I feel like at times that gave me comedic sensibilities or maybe a melancholy writing sensibility or something. What did being raised in Toma do for you as an artist? Like, what is in your soul from your upbringing that you bring to a script or a moving picture, so to speak?
That's a good question, Pete. I do feel like it's coming out more. The older I get, the more I write. I just kind of go back because I haven't lived in Toma for a long time now. Not to touch on something too topical, but with the election this last weekend or last week, I felt kind of grateful for my Toma upbringing just to feel like I understand. There's a huge divide right now, and I feel like I fully understand both sides because a lot of my friends in LA are like totally confused how this
very interesting.
I feel like I'm like, no, I understand. I completely understand both sides.
Yeah. That's fascinating that you say that because we are polarized, but then there are people on other sides of the aisle who help people out of a ditch or, you know, just do stuff and are good neighbors. That's what I think living in Wisconsin and in a smaller community, for me anyway, politics isn't like the big national, we believe this, we don't believe this. You're just in a community where you try to figure out problems. And
well, and yeah, and like I'm kind of trying to say with my films, like ultimately my bigger message, I think, with the year stuff is that I think there is more that unites us than divides us. But our environment completely informs us. So people who, yeah, live in a rural life have a completely different sense of priorities. Correct. People in LA and New York.
So. That's it's interesting. I mean, that's what I'm kind of trying to do here every night is just let's talk about movies and comedy and music and like the things that unite us.
Nice. Yeah.
Do you have our question tonight, Nathan? And can you stick around after we do a quick break?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. But our question tonight, I think we have time to ask you this before we go to the break. I don't know if you heard about this. Barbenheimer 2.0 is happening next week in Glick. And our question today is, what are you looking more forward to seeing, Wicked or Gladiator 2? I say Wicked. I'm very excited to see Gladiator 2, but I feel like we've kind of seen it, or I have an idea of what it will be. Wicked, the buzz is ridiculous. Conrad agrees. The techs have been kind of split down the middle. What are you looking most forward to seeing that?
Well,
weekend?
Why are we calling it Glicked and not Wadiator?
Because that sounds obscene. Nathan just created a sex term on Nightlight.
Wadiator.
I like that. Wadiator.
You know, yeah. I have a bone to pick with Wicked. Have you been watching the trailers?
No. But tell it. We've got about 30 or 40 seconds before we have to go to break. So you can either hold it, or if it's quick, you could tell us.
Well, very quick. I like Wicked. I saw Wicked in high school. I remember how big Wicked is. They have been hiding the fact that it's a two-parter film.
Yes.
So after I got burned with Horizon this summer, I'm not into the hidden two-parter.
Well, and Costner's was like a four-parter, and they were all three. That's longer than a TV season. That's ridiculous. All right, we'll get to this. We'll pick it up here when we come back. Nathan Deming is here. He is a native Wisconsin filmmaker and the writer-director behind the film February. We'll talk more with Nathan in just a couple of minutes. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Like money.
Your You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
We're back on Nightlight for a few more minutes. It is almost Friday. We're doing a show. We did a show Monday, and we tried to make it feel like a Thursday. I don't know. Last night kind of felt like a Monday.
Well, now we just stick to the days, actually. Yeah, so Thursday show feels like Thursday. Actual. Friday shows feel like Friday.
But it's a little bit of a letdown because we already did a Thursday show.
What? That wasn't a popcorn pick of the week, though.
True. It's this game I play in my head. My guest right now is Nathan Deming. He's helping us close down the show tonight. He's a writer-director from Tomah, Wisconsin, who is a very, I would call you a prolific filmmaker, Nathan. You're always working on something. I wish I had your, you know, tenacity when it comes to, I feel like I love making movies so much, but I don't do it. I should be making shorts, and I have other friends that will put something that's 5 minutes long together to enter into film fest. Like, you don't have to do much to get an idea down or just a fun thought. Can you tell us about your feature that you're working on?
Not much yet, but it's hopefully filming here. It's set here. And
in L.A.?
No. I'm in Wisconsin.
Oh, you're
right
in
now.
Wisconsin. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like finishing up the script and working
nice.
On it.
Nice. So, okay.
And hopefully this tax credit thing becomes an issue again in Wisconsin.
Wouldn't that be nice?
We need incentives to film here.
Yeah, I know. I hope. Have you heard anything? I actually just emailed Jeff Kurz to get him back on the show to give us an update. I hope it happens, but what have you heard?
I thought it died in April again, right? But it popped up kind of in my feed again in the past few weeks. So I thought I read that there's kind of rumbling. So maybe I'm trying to manifest it into being.
Just talk about it and it'll happen. I thought there was a revisit happening, but I could be wrong.
I hope so.
So, all right. So you can't tell us much, or you won't tell us much. I'm sure you go on other radio shows and talk all about your new fancy feature film, but where was February filmed? Where did you go specifically in the state? Because you do have some beautiful photography.
The most beautiful stuff was Tomah, Wisconsin.
Nice.
It was kind of split between Eau Claire and Tomah. Winter, I think, always looks good. But my favorite location in the movie is the Tomah Cash Store. which I grew up going to. It's just this amazing old department store. They were really super nice. Let us film there. So
that's pretty cool. Did you answer the question what you're looking forward to seeing more, Gladiator 2 or Wicked?
For Wadiator?
Yeah. watch your language.
Well, if it's like Barbenheimer, I got to do both now. Although, did you say before I came on, I heard you say that Denzel's retiring, or he's going to do like two more films?
He's talked about retiring now for a few months, and he's going to do the new Wakanda, Black Panther 3. He wants to do King Lear and Othello. He's going to do those three, and then supposedly he's going to hang it up. So I can pretty much guarantee just the idea that he's going to retire and those roles. He's going to get one more Oscar. They're going to send him out with an Oscar for either King Lear or Othello or Black Panther 3. Who knows?
The rumblings I've heard is that he's like incredible in Gladiator 2. So
I will be honest. He is the reason I most want to see Gladiator 2. I think he's so phenomenal. Yeah. And I used to really like him. Now, as he gets older, I just think he's gotten better. And I just love the guy. I think he's fantastic. So
yeah, I just rewatched Philadelphia last week. He's so good in that.
Oh, movie. Yeah, yeah. Are you watching anything you can share with us? Any good bingeable television programs?
I'm watching Perry Mason right now, the 1950s one.
Oh,
if you want a hint of what my film might be about that I'm currently writing,
let me go explore that roadmap. Wait, you're watching the 50s show, not the new remake on HBO.
Not the remake.
Dude, that is the remake on HBO is phenomenal.
Oh, is it good?
I love it. I honestly don't know which season I like better. I love the actor. The cast is great. And I love anything shot that's made to look like 1940s LA. I loved LA Confidential. So yeah, I love it. And I've only seen a couple episodes of the original show. So how is that show?
The original's good. Yeah, I was told by super fans of the original not to check out the new one, but now I'll check it out if you like it. So,
well, I mean, don't. I'm just a humble radio host, Nathan. But I do like it a lot. I think it's great.
I saw Juror Number 2 last night.
Oh, the film that's being kept from America by distributors, the Clint Eastwood film. Why? That was supposed to be wide release, I thought, and then all of a sudden it's in like 7 theaters. Where did you see it?
Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought so. It's not that widespread.
Well, they might have put it in more theaters now, but initially I thought it was supposed to go wide, and then it kind of like, I don't know why they did that, but I heard it was really good.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I tried to picture before and after every shot a 90-year-old Clint Eastwood going action.
That seems like that would be a little distracting while you're trying to watch a film. Yeah. Hey, man. This has been great. Thank you so much, as always. Good luck in Milwaukee this weekend. I hope the screening goes well. Break a leg and shoot me a text. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, for sure. 1 p.m. Union Cinema at UWM.
February by Nathan Deming. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. It's a great film. And keep up the great work and keep me posted on whatever you're working on.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it. All right. That's Nathan Deming. I'd like to thank all my guests, Susan Kaya Slusser, Shannon Simon, and Nathan Deming. Thank you for all your texts as well regarding Glicket or Wadiator, as Nathan calls it. I could really roll with either one of those, to be honest with you.
I think Glicket's, I like Glicket.
Do you? Wadiator's growing on me, though.
Wadiator.
Did I say Gladiator?
Wadiator.
The Wadiator's woken. All right, we will be back to do this all over again tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen. It's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here with new music, and the one and only Frank Hermans. He might ride in on a camel. Let's see. He's going to be here tomorrow in studio. That'll be fun. Please join us again. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. You came and gifted
us. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow still on vacation, but we got Luke Mathers sitting in, and I have a feeling there might be a couple tangents. Join us.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.